Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in session pursuant to adjournment. Master Commissioner Robert Mayer presiding.
Please be seated. The first case to be argued this morning is 2014-721. The Board of Education Columbus City Schools versus Franklin County Board of Revision. For the appellant school board, Mr. Gillis.
Maybe the agenda showed another case in front of us.
Oh, right.
So we have everything up here ready?
No problem. Whenever you're ready.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Mark Gillis on behalf of the Board of Education of Columbus City Schools. To put it quite simply, the Board of Tax Appeals is ignoring its statutory responsibilities and now is refusing to independently review evidence, independently determine value, or provide any detailed rational basis for its otherwise summary decisions. In the present case, along with hundreds of other decisions, the Board of Tax Appeals now issues a template form decision that contains one or more boilerplate conclusory sentences which attempt to resolve all issues before it and any arguments presented to it without ever mentioning what those arguments were. And in a case where an appraisal has been presented, the BTA will now summarily accept such a report so long as it meets three marginally relevant criteria. That'll be discussed in the next case before this court. In the present case, however, we are faced with another type of boilerplate decision where the BTA fails to independently review and weigh any evidence in the record, or lack thereof in this particular case, and simply and summarily proclaims, quote, the property owner demonstrated that the initial assessments of the subject properties overstated their value, end quote. The Board of Tax Appeals fails to state what evidence accomplished this. And it must be noted that neither the BTA or the BOR in this case accepted the property owner's proffered values. The BTA then proclaims, quote, the BOR took into consideration the taxpayer's evidence as well as the information available to it and concluded that an adjustment to the value was warranted, end quote. This is a clear indication that the BTA did no independent analysis in this case. While they paid lip service to the proposition that Board of Revision decisions are not presumed correct, they immediately then violated it by deferring to the Board of Revision's decision in this case, with no analysis of the evidence in the record.
Let me ask you, what was the evidence that was presented? This was basically a pro se property owner, correct?
This is a pro se property owner. The only witness was the property owner, who presented six sheets of paper that purported to be six comparable sales, of which all of which were provided to him by an unknown realtor who never appeared in the case. The property owner knew nothing about these comparables. He hadn't been inside any of them. He admitted that in his experience, some of them may have been in bad shape. He didn't know if they were arm's length sales. He didn't know the terms and conditions of these sales. He had no idea if any of them were rented or vacant at the time of the sale.
Are you aware whether or not those six pieces of paper that you refer to were certified as part of the record to this court? Because a preliminary look did not reveal
their MLS listing sheets that were part of the Board of Revision records.
They should be part of the
Board
of Revision.
They should be, and I believe we got copies from the court's records, which were on a CD, I believe. What we can find from those pages is that one of them was a HUD sale, which this court has deemed not to be arm's length. One sale had fire damage. Another one was in need of TLC, which the subject was not. One was a bank-owned property. One was an auction sale, which is not presumed to be arm's length. And another one was 32 months from the tax lien date. Not one of these facts was mentioned by the BTA. In fact, not one fact with regard to any of the evidence was mentioned by the BTA. They just summarily deemed that sufficient to refute the auditor's value and blindly deferred to the Board of Revision's value which was not the value proffered by the property owner. In its decision, the BTA cited but wholly ignored all of the relevant legal principles, in a footnote, no less. In footnote number two, they cite to Justice Pfeiffer's concurrence in LTC Income Properties, where he stated, quote, all property owners know they have a heavy burden to overcome when challenging a valuation, and that the best way to challenge it is with a proper appraisal. Here, the BTA apparently lightened that burden quite a bit and allows unadjusted raw sales data to satisfy that burden. Next, the board correctly indicated that it is charged with the responsibility of determining value based upon evidence properly contained in the record, which must be found to be both competent and probative. The BTA violated this standard when it blindly deferred to the BOR's decision and the evidence that was never included in the record. What wasn't cited in the BTA's decision was the well-settled principle that the evidence for adopting a Board of Revisions decision can be sufficient for purposes of a BTA review, quote, if and only if the BTA independently concluded that the evidence supports the very value found by the Board of Revision under Vandalia Butler. In this case, that cannot be satisfied because none of the information that the Board of Revision purportedly used is in the record. What seems to have gotten lost in the Board of Tax Appeals is that the initial burden of proof at the Board of Revision is on the complainant. Regardless of whether the Board of Revision grants a reduction and the original complainant is an appellee at the BTA, the appellant can meet its burden of persuasion by demonstrating that the evidence upon which the Board of Revision granted that reduction wasn't competent and probative in the first place. That's Vandalia Butler as well. Unless the evidence affirmatively negates the auditor's value, as it did in East Bank or Dayton Montgomery Port Authority, the auditor's values must be reinstated. To hold otherwise places a higher burden on an appellant before the BTA than the complainant ever had at the Board of Revision. If we get back to the specific facts of this case and look at those six sales again, no adjustments were made to those sales by Mr. Beck. There's no evidence that adjustments were made by the Board of Revision. They certainly weren't included in the record. Therefore, the BTA's conclusory statement that, quote, we conclude the property owner demonstrated the initial assessments overstated their value, is not only unsupportable, but is refuted when this court has to perform the Board of Tax Appeals' function and reviews the actual evidence and determines whether it's competent and probative.
And additionally, don't we have, as you stated, that the property owner presented his opinions of value as being those of a realtor who did not appear before the BOR?
That's correct. He said he was assisted by a realtor, that the realtor gave him the sales comps and what he thought the value was, and the owner adopted that as his value. Now, when we turn to the Board of Revision's decision, it becomes even more interesting. The audio transcript of the decision portion, the Board of Revision claims to have considered the sales comparison approach and the income approach to value and weighted them equally. No evidence in the record supports this contention. The record contains no sales comparison approach analysis done by the Board of Revision or the auditor's office staff, let alone a conclusion under that approach. The same can be said under the income approach. Even worse, under the income approach, the record contains no relevant market income and expense data from which an income approach could even have been done. Quite simply, either the BOR or the auditor's office never conducted these approaches, or it failed to include any of the evidence it used in the record and failed to present it to the parties for review and cross-examination of its preparer. In either case, it was impossible for the BTA to independently conclude that the evidence supported the very value found by the Board of Revision because no one has any idea how the Board of Revision arrived at its value. If a county Board of Revision is going to make up its own value, then at the very minimum, It must include all information, analysis, and conclusions, along with the identity of the preparer in the record, and present it to the parties so that they can review it, agree with it, or challenge it, either before that board or the Board of Tax Appeals. The Board of Education believes that the standard set forth in General Motors should apply to a board of revision. That standard requires the Board of Tax Appeals to give a detailed explanation of the specific appraisal market data upon which it relies to justify its determination of value, certainly if it's going to change that value. If it fails to do so, the Board of Revision decision cannot be affirmed, and that's as a matter of law, because the BTA will not be able to independently conclude that the evidence supports the very value the BOR determined. Under the Howard standard, the Board of Tax Appeals is required to state what evidence it considered relevant in reaching its valuation determinations. There's no mention of that in this case. They only mention the Board of Revision's decision, which proves they simply blindly deferred to it. Under the Vandalia-Butler standard, the Board of Tax Appeals can only affirm the BOR's value if and only if it independently concluded the evidence supported the very value found by the Board of Revision. Under both of these standards, the Board of Tax Appeals cannot summarily declare value as it has in this case and many other recent cases, but instead must do as the Villa Park Court said, which is review and reconsider the record, make factual findings that are supported by the record, and indicate the specific calculations the BTA used to determine the value of the property. The Board of Education requests that this court reverse the Board of Tax Appeals' decision, reinstate the auditor's values. In the alternative, we request that the matter be remanded back to the Board of Tax Appeals with instructions to follow the standards set forth by this court in Howard, Vandalia, Butler, Villa Park, and General Motors. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gillis. The appellee did not file a brief and is presenting no argument today, so this case will be submitted and the court will advise the parties of its decision. I also apologize for the confusion about the argument at the outset, which was postponed.